But we're going to start off by listening to God's word. So turn with me, if you found it earlier, Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read from verse 39 through to verse 52. Luke chapter 2. We've spent time in Luke's gospel. This Christmas time we've been in Luke's gospel. We've seen the familiar stories of the birth of the Lord Jesus. And just afterwards, Luke brings us this account, which we don't often look at. Some of us will be familiar, but we don't often stop and really think, what is this teaching us? What is going on here in this part of Luke's gospel? So let's follow along with me as I read it to us now. Luke chapter 2, verse 39. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee by their own town, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, I grew up reading Biggles books. Some of you who are old enough might have grown up reading Biggles books. Story of this pilot in the war. It's not very PC when you read the books now, but he was a hero. He'd go flying in his aeroplane and he'd always win or somehow get out of a scrape and survive. And it was brilliant. Biggles. And I used to collect Biggles books. And then I came across a copy of a book called Biggles the Boy. The Boy Biggles. He grew up in India. And here were these stories of this boy who also got into scrapes and came out the hero and fought off wild animals living in India. Biggles the man was shaped and could be seen in Biggles the Boy. Well, what about Jesus? We know much about Jesus the man, Jesus grown up. We know much about what he did. What was he like as a child? What did he get up to? What was it like if you had Jesus in your class or in your family? Well, the Bible's pretty silent on that. We don't hear much about Jesus growing up. We hear much about his birth in Matthew and Luke's gospel. But then everything else is from when he's about 30 years old. What went on in those early years? There were quite a few legends written of what Jesus the boy got up to, miracles that he performed. But none of that appears in our Bibles. Because I think what our Bibles show us is he was very ordinary growing up. And we're going to see some of that in what we look at today. In this account, this is the only account we have of what Jesus was like as a boy. And even that phrase is used, the boy Jesus, partway through. We're going to see, first of all, two things. But first of all, this. Jesus grew just like us. Have a look at verse 40. And the child, that's Jesus, the child grew and became strong. There is nothing extraordinary in that line. That's what children do. That's what babies do. They don't stay babies for long. They grow. Luke's not telling us anything extraordinary here or amazing. He's emphasizing the ordinariness. Is that a word? The ordinariness of Jesus in his humanity. He was a baby and he grew up. The child grew and became strong. Jesus was fully human. He had to learn to walk. He had to learn to talk. He had to learn to use a fork, to continue the rhyme. In his humanity, he grew just like us. Jesus had parents who would teach him things. And look at verse 51, just glance down. He went down to Nazareth with them, his parents, and he was obedient to them. God gives children parents to instruct, to look after, to teach. And children are told by God to obey their parents, to do as their parents say. Children, are you still listening to me? Remember what I said earlier? Keep listening to me. God has given you your parents, and God tells you to obey your parents. They're there for your good. You don't think that all the time. You don't agree with them all the time. You don't want to do what they say all the time. But God tells you to. God says, these are your parents, do as they say. And that's what Jesus did. Now that's amazing. Get your head around that. This is Jesus, who we know is not just fully human, he's fully God. Jesus obeyed his parents. Jesus was God, and he obeyed his parents. Now if Jesus could do that, how about all of you? He grew just like us. He had parents just like us. And look at verse 52. He grew in wisdom and stature. Now, stature, again, is to do with his size. He's growing. Again, there's something very normal in that. But also he's growing in wisdom as he gets older. Wisdom. Now, through this passage, the danger for us is we think what's going on here with Jesus, it's all because he was God, particularly when we get to the bit when he's in the temple. He's doing this because he's God. But Luke is trying to show us, no, he's doing this in his humanity. He was fully human. And he'd grown in wisdom. He'd become wise. Now, wisdom isn't simply being clever. It isn't intellect. Wisdom is knowing things about this world, and particularly knowing things about God. And Jesus had grown in wisdom. Notice what it says back at the beginning of our passage. Verse 40, the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. The grace of God, God's kindness, God enabling things in his life which enabled him to grow in wisdom. Opportunities that he had to grow in wisdom. Perhaps there were certain teachers in his town, the rabbis in Nazareth, that he could go to and listen to, that he would grow in wisdom. Perhaps there were Sunday club teachers that were there at his, not his church, but his synagogue, who would teach him, that he would grow in wisdom. Perhaps the parents he'd given him, who we see in this passage are really diligent in keeping the law. They go up each year for the Passover in Jerusalem. Those parents who were diligent in teaching the children, was a grace of God that he might grow in wisdom. Now we're going to come back to that in a moment to think, how can we be more like Jesus? How can we grow in wisdom like Jesus did? But before we get too far on that, we need to notice, secondly, Jesus knew he wasn't like us. Jesus knew he wasn't like us. This is the bulk of our passage. This is the story, if you like, that's in the middle that captures our attention. The story when Jesus went missing. Have any of you ever got lost from your parents before? Horrible feeling for parents. Horrible feeling for children to be lost. But notice what happens. We're going to follow along as we read the story, as Luke tells it here. Notice what he says. Verse 41, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. They were good parents in that sense. They were diligent. They went every year to the festival. If you've got parents who bring you every week to church, they are good parents. That's a good thing. Now that's really important, because you read this story, you read it in a children's Bible, and the pictures of Jesus have him being about 6 years old sometimes. But we need to think 12. He's 12 years old. When he was 12 years old, verse 42, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Now, a lot of you have been on what we call the church house party, the weekend away as church. And if you've got a 12-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 14-year-old, there will be times as a parent where you don't know where your 12 or 13 or 14-year-old is. You know they're somewhere amongst everybody else. And you're quite trusting of that. That's okay. You don't know where they are, what room they're in, what they're getting up to. You're quite relieved at that thought sometimes. But you're at ease. You know they're okay. They're with the group. They're around. And I think for Joseph and Mary, it was similar. It was like going on the house party. They've been up to Jerusalem. They've gone with their relatives, their friends. You know, Jesus was around. He was with the group. He was okay. And so when they headed home, they weren't that bothered. They weren't fussed that he wasn't right next to them. They just trusted he was with them somewhere in the group. But when they got back, they realized that he wasn't. And they checked around. They asked the friends and relatives, have you seen him? Have you seen Jesus? Was he with you? No. No one's seen him. Where was he? Well, when they didn't find him, verse 45, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him. Imagine. 3 days. Some of you as parents who've lost a child, maybe it was minutes, maybe it was hours. 3 days. Where was he? I went back to Jerusalem. They checked all the normal places, the bakery, the toy shop, the sweet shop, the park, the cinema, the library. Where was he? And then they found him. After 3 days, verse 46, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Now, we're going to come back to that in a moment, but look at what happens next. Verse 49, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" And notice there's a footnote. See that in your Bibles? There's a footnote. It might mean in my father's house. It might mean about my father's business. Could be either. But this is the punchline of the story. And the punchline is, who's the father? You see, Mary says, "Son, didn't you know that your father and I were looking for you and would be anxious about you?" And Jesus says, "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Who's the father? Jesus knew he was not like us. He knew that his father was God. He knew that age 12. His father was God. And he had to be about his father's business. He had to be about his father's work. Just an implication on that, because that's the big point really of this story. That the implication is, we need Jesus to do his work, don't we? We need to trust him to do his work. You know, Mary and Joseph, they didn't get it. They didn't understand what Jesus was doing, why he was there. And doing his father's work would take him away from his parents. There'd be times later in the Gospels where we read that Mary's mother questioned his mental state. You know, what was Jesus up to? What was he doing now? There was a time later in the Gospel where Jesus would disappear for another 3 days. And I think this is a trailer. 3 days is no coincidence. He'd disappear for another 3 days, this time because he died. But then he came back, he rose again. And I think only then his mother really understood all these things that had happened early on, or this particular incident, here, age 12 at the temple. Notice that line about Mary. It's been said once before of her. Verse 51. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. Now it said that back in verse 19. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I think that verse is sometimes misused as to what Mary was doing or what we ought to do. I think what Luke is doing is saying, look, I've spoken to Mary. Remember, he checked out eyewitnesses. He's seen the look in Mary's eye as she retold this story. This really happened. Jesus knew he was not like us. He had to be about his father's work. We need him to be about his father's work. But let's go back to Jesus there in the temple, sitting amongst the religious leaders. What was he doing? Again, I think we might stray into saying, well, he was able to do this because he was God. Here he was, even though he was 12, he could hold his ground. He could ask questions. He could teach these teachers because he was God. But Luke doesn't make that point. The whole way through, Luke is saying, look, he's in his humanity, he's doing these things. So look again at verse 46. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Can we be like that? David, who is 12, who came down, can he be like this? Well, Luke seems to suggest, yes, we can. We too can grow in wisdom, because that's what Jesus did in his humanity. We can grow in wisdom. How do we grow in wisdom? Well, through the means that God provides for us. For some of us, that's our parents. They can teach us. We flip that around the other way. Teachers, it's your parents, it's your job to be teachers of your children, to teach them about the Lord Jesus. We can come to church. We can be in Sunday club, in starters, in builders, in juniors. What's the main aim of starters and builders and juniors? Is it to keep the children occupied so the adults can get on with the serious business in here? Is that the aim of Sunday club? Sort of glorified childcare. Is it that it's good fun? Is that the aim of Sunday club, that it's just good fun? We hope it is good fun, but is that the aim? What's the aim of starters and builders and juniors? Or covies or fuel? Yeah, to ground in the faith, to be able to grow in wisdom. To grow in wisdom. That's our prayer for you as you go and start a new term in starters and builders and juniors and covies and fuel, that you would grow in wisdom. It's your opportunity to do what Jesus was doing here. What did he do? Listening and asking questions. Hey, we can all do that, can't we? Listen and ask questions. Ask questions. What does this mean? Why did this happen? Do I understand this? Do I get this? What a great privilege and great responsibility to be a leader in starters or builders or juniors or covies or fuel. to be able to pass on to the next generation the opportunity for them to grow in wisdom, to be a means of grace. Now we need more people to do that through the next term. Maybe that's you. In the new year, you could get involved in one of these groups to help the next generation to grow in the wisdom of the Lord Jesus, to be in a place where they can listen and ask questions. If you think that might be you, do speak to Andy Walker if you want to get involved in children's work, or Nick in terms of youth work. But do we grow in wisdom only when we're under 12? Well, Jesus didn't. Because look at where our passage ends. Verse 52, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. That goes on. That's a lifelong task, isn't it, to grow in wisdom. Who thinks they've cracked it? They are now wise. Anyone? Anyone like to offer their services as the voice of wisdom today? You have any problem, I can give you the answer. I am wise. Anyone think they're truly, completely wise? No, so we're all learning still. We're all growing. We've all got work to do. I read a quote this last week. Nobody drifts towards holiness. That's a helpful quote, isn't it? You don't drift and become more holy just sort of by chance. You need to work at it. Well, the same is true in growing wise. Nobody drifts towards wisdom. Jesus didn't. He had to work at it. He was there, listening, asking questions. He'd have been reading through the scriptures, trying to understand. And we can all do that, can't we? That's what we're doing this morning. We're reading the scriptures. Hopefully you're quietly in your head asking questions. Hopefully I'm answering some of them. And it helps us to grow in wisdom. We can do that in our growth groups. That's the main point of growth groups. New year, New Year's resolutions, great opportunity to set again, where's my priority, where's my focus for this new year? What's going to happen in my life? Am I going to grow in wisdom this year? At the end of 2018, will people around me be able to say, you know, you're a bit wiser now? Well, growth groups is a place you can do that. Get along to a growth group this year. It will really help if you're not in one already. Maybe it's just reading the Bible more. New Year's, a fresh start, isn't it? Those of you who've perhaps slipped those habits of reading the Bible daily have just drifted away. And January the 1st is coming and it's a time to start again, to get back into reading the Bible daily again. Maybe you've already planned that. You've got your notes, you're ready, you're prepared. You're just waiting for the 1st of January because you couldn't possibly start early. Maybe you need some resources to help you. Bruce has got something for us. He's done it with a group of people before to try and read through the Bible in a year. Is this one in a year or it's 2 years, isn't it? So starting this week to try and read through the Bible in 2 years. Well, that's really doable. And come and see Bruce down in the corner down here. He's got a sheet you can take away today. We'll try and make it available electronically as well. But a resource that we can use to try and work through the scriptures. And if you're doing it in a group, if you're reading on your own, this would give you a chance just to meet up occasionally to say, well, what are you hearing? What are you learning? What are you seeing? As you read through and work through together, to ask questions, to listen. Jesus grew just like us. That should give us real hope. 2018 is a year of opportunity. It's a year of grace. We can grow just like Jesus did in the next year. For some of us that will happen physically, but for all of us it could happen in terms of wisdom. But Jesus also knew he was not like us. You know, it's not that we just try harder to be like Jesus. No, we still need a saviour. We still needed him to come to die for us. He knew he had to be about his Father's business. And he was, and he did. And as we've been singing and thinking already, he achieved that for us. We need to keep trusting him into 2018 as well. Trusting him who did his Father's work. Our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the way that he grew through his childhood, not just physically, but also in wisdom. Thank you for the means that you put into his life for him to do that, for his parents, for those in his town, for those religious leaders there at the temple that day who were spending time with him, talking and answering questions. And Father, we thank you for the means that you place in our life where we can do the same. We thank you for parents if we have them. We thank you for this church family. We thank you for Sunday Club and for the youth work. We thank you for our growth groups. Thank you for Sundays. Thank you that we have the Bible in our own language that we can read and listen to. Father, we pray that this coming year you'd help all of us to grow in the wisdom of the Lord Jesus. May we make efforts to do that. May we help each other to do that. And Father, help us to keep trusting in the Lord Jesus too, in his work. Keep trusting in his death for us on the cross, in his resurrection, which offers us the hope that whatever happens in the year ahead, we have this sure and certain hope in the Lord Jesus. Help us to keep trusting, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.